The Spirit and the church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Take a quick inventory of your annual personal activity. Is there anything that competes with the time and energy that you invest in your preparations for the Christmas holiday? To be accurate, in your analysis, consider the amount of accumulated resources that you invest in every element of every last thing that you believe is necessary to properly observe this holiday. Perhaps it's a vacation, or a hobby, or some chosen recreational activity on an annual basis that might actually come close to competing. But there are likely, very likely, few other scheduled events on your annual action plan that take the time and investment that Christmas does. And how are you doing this year? This is only the first Wednesday of Advent, but today we are only 20 short days away from Christmas Eve. Anytime that Christmas actually falls on a Wednesday, if you study the calendar a little bit, you realize that it is the very shortest possible amount of time between the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday. I hope you are ready for that reality this year. If you are already well behind schedule of where you prefer to be by December 4th, I wouldn't be surprised. And my bringing all of this up at the beginning of our interaction with each other maybe has you a bit stressed. And I'm apologizing for that if that is the case. So I invite you to close your eyes for just a moment, not too long, just a moment. Go ahead. Take a few very deep breaths to clear your mind, because it's time to think about something other than gift giving, decorating, baking, greetings and cards needing to be sent, and all those other trappings that you and I have made the season all about that become such distractions away from the very important question I want to ask you. How will you go about being ready to meet Jesus this Christmas? He absolutely does want to spend some time with you. Are you prepared to meet him? Will you be ready for him? There are two verses in the lesson that is our longer lesson for the service this evening that I'd like you to focus on for just a few minutes to help this conversation along a bit. So if you turn back in the worship folder to the gospel lesson, I want to start at verse 16 and just go a couple verses beyond that. The key is to recognize that the pronoun he in this verse, is John the Baptist. John the Baptist will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. These are the angel's words predicting what would be happening in John the Baptist's life. You and I have the benefit of knowing what all of the gospel accounts present to us about John the Baptist and how he went about preparing the way for the Lord, preparing people to meet Jesus. Many of the people of John's day wandered far away from the Lord. They were simply working at making their lives work, finding some some joy, some peace, some happiness in life if it was just for a few hours. And they were busy trying to figure out a lot of things that only for which only God has the correct answers in His Word. But they were looking in all kinds of other places than the Word for those answers. Well, John the Baptist would certainly get their attention in a big way as he went on before the Lord, as it's referenced here in these verses. We know that he created quite a stir, quite a storm with his arrival on the scene at the Jordan, down in the valley from Jerusalem. A lot of people went out to see him. Some probably it was about the way he was dressed. Some were interested in what they heard about his dietary preferences. But certainly everybody was impacted by his approach to public speaking. He was powerfully direct and told every listener what they needed to hear, whether they were ready for it, were wanting to hear it, or not. And perhaps that was because John knew, without any doubt, how important his task and his moment in history truly was. Because John knew. We know that from what the angel speaks of here, but we know that in regard to the other things that were told about John, that John knew without a doubt that his arrival in this world and his purpose in this world had been prophesied and promised many different times in the Old Testament with significant detail. But also this moment of this angel telling his father that he was going to be a father in his elderly years to a miracle baby. Now, he knew that he wasn't the only miracle baby in the family. By the time he arrived on the scene to go before the Lord, he also knew of another relative that was also a miracle baby, not to elderly parents, but to a virgin mother, only about 6 months older, or rather younger, than John the Baptist. He already was telling the world early in his ministry of this one who was coming after him that was going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose sandals he wasn't worthy to untie. He knew. John knew God's plan of salvation was unfolding on the hills of Palestine, and that his role was turning hearts toward the Lord of salvation, who was about to follow him on the scene. He knew that the one far more important than he was would change absolutely everything for humanity forever. And look back at these verses again and see how the angel Gabriel states it in these verses, as he predicts in detail what John would do. Don't believe for a moment that it wasn't likely that John the Baptist heard from his father Zechariah exactly what the angel had said about him often during his growing up and his teen years. Very possibly Zechariah even impersonated the tone and the pacing of the delivery, maybe even doing an impersonation of the angel Gabriel as he told his son, "This is who you are. This is what an angel told me about you." But then also being of the family of Aaron, of the priesthood of Israel, it's likely that Zechariah also shared with him other Old Testament scriptures regarding who he was and what he was coming into the world to do. But here we're told in so many words, he will turn the hearts of parents to their children, and you're also supposed to see it, the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Parents, by nature, love their children. Parents desire what is best for their children. Parents care deeply about their children being right with God and being welcome in God's eternal presence. parents also know, sometimes even better than their children, that their children are sinful human beings needing divine forgiveness. So it's not surprising that the angel predicts that the parents hearing the message of the baptizer, the forerunner of the Lord, in hearing that message would immediately understand their responsibility in making sure the next generation would understand and embrace the importance of John's message. But it's that next phrase that helps us understand the content of John's preaching and proclaiming. The turning of the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. That's a beautiful summary of how the Holy Spirit does His work through the Word in every generation, through the sharing of the Word of God in every human heart and life. For everyone is disobedient. The only righteous among us or among any human beings throughout the course of time are those who have lasting wisdom because they can share what they have heard from the Word and been convicted and convinced of by its truth to trust God's wisdom and salvation alone. And now we're working at convincing others. John the Baptist's work was extremely important in its day. John the Baptist's work has been extremely important every day since, and it is equally important today. It will always be important. It is the work of Christian congregations. It is the work of pastor and people. It is the work of Christians throughout the world, throughout time. In reading, hearing, living the righteous truth the Word alone can reveal to us, as it leads us to repentance. I mean, that's what John the Baptist preached the most, was turning, repenting, turning toward the Lord, using the Word to convince us of the forgiveness and the shaping of our lives that God desires to know as righteousness that's a gift from Him through His Word, through His work in us. So how do you and I prepare best for Christmas? There's really no mystery in that process. It's the very same reality regarding how we go about our lives every day. It's what we do in our own best interests every single day of our lives. We seek out the Lord and His Word. We don't wait for Him to send someone to shake our lives and to challenge us with the need to repent, the need to confess and be honest and reliant upon God alone for His intervention in our lives with His righteous gift of forgiveness through His Son, to call us back to a relationship with the only source of hope and life. We eagerly seek to prepare our hearts for every encounter with the Lord by seeking out His Word and seeking out other people with whom to share our lives that also embrace the Word and the forgiveness that the Word offers and the truth that the Word uses to form us as righteous people, enabled by the Holy Spirit and the Word itself to live righteous lives of wisdom. People who love the Word and desire to live by the Word as much as we do. And that sounds awful simple when you say it. We hear that truth so often, and yet we are tempted so often every day of the year, but especially in this season, to turn away from the Lord and His Word, especially when that Word corrects us and strives to focus us. In the kind of honesty and directness that John the Baptist used in his moment on the world stage, what he brought to his interactions, we would have to admit that we turn away from the Lord far more often than we turn toward Him. That's the daily human reality for each and every one of us. So what a wonderful thing it is that this particular Advent season, as short as it may be, we have the opportunity to gather around the Word of God this evening and in the Wednesdays of Advent to come, words that prepare us for Christmas by turning our hearts to Jesus. You and I are among those who need to be brought back to the Lord our God that the angel Gabriel is speaking about in these verses. And we need that to happen every day. We're often focused on it more intensely, you might say, more intentionally at this time of the year than other times of the year. But it is our constant reality. And thank the Lord that He sent John the Baptist to do His work so well that you and I are still benefited and blessed by that work of the truth of God calling us to be honest with ourselves, to see ourselves the way our God sees us so that He can prepare us to meet Him in word and sacrament and offer us that forgiveness and that new life and that hope of heaven that He alone can make real for us. It's work that John the Baptist did so well and something the Holy Spirit is still doing through the Word, every word, that everyone who speaks God's Word offers us through what they speak to us, write for us, or use to guide us. You know you need the Baptist in your life as much as the people who went out in the wilderness to see Him needed Him in theirs. So listen to Him. Don't walk away. Don't try to quiet His call to repent, to turn to the Lord. Don't debate with Him. Rather, through the Spirit's guiding, let Him have free rein in your heart and your life, turning your heart to the Lord, your God, in preparation for observing, celebrating, embracing the miracle of the incarnation, our God becoming flesh, so that we might become righteous, so that we might not only turn to Him, but embrace Him with voice and life and hope every day, as if we were preparing for Christmas. Amen.